It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today.
Our backs are to the wall, ladies and gentlemen, and we have run out of places to hide.
Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We got a great show for you.
Right, it's great.
Hi, gang, this is Fiend Gene Okerlund.
Hey, this is Kevin Nash. You're listening to Doc Young.
I've never heard of a bigger baby in my life
than the legendary Les Thatcher.
I'm now the Les Thatcher.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
Thank you.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
That's pretty damn cool.
That is cool.
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher, guys, here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the show tonight, we've got Diva Search finalist Taryn Terrell. She's going to be with us, and Adam Martin is going to join us for Hot Topic. Les, how are you? How's your week?
Welcome to Wrestling's version.
Go for it.
Taylor.
Go for it, Les.
I got to. I can't help myself. It's just like deja vu. I was just here. In fact, I was just here 10 minutes ago.
You're dreaming all that.
No, I'm not dreaming all that either.
It's time for the show, Les. Wake up.
Oh, is it time for the show?
Yeah.
You mean we had, you know, I dreamt that we'd already started the show, and that due to our ultra-sophisticated technology, that we had not done this, that we were interrupted in the middle of it with something happening, and
we are taking donations for new equipment, guys.
And I sat here and fell asleep waiting for the mad scientist to play around with his 1805 version of computerized
2003. Thank you,
America.
But I had to reset everything. But yeah, we did have some audio problems. But we're back on now.
We are back on. Yes, that's what I said. It's deja vu all over again. Well, I'm not going through this whole damn thing again. If you didn't hear me the first time, you won't hear me the second time. So.
But we do have some new stuff to talk about, and that includes, of course, Randy Orton, new champ, taking over for...
Well, what I was going to touch on is they actually did a handicap match last night the way I felt a handicap match should have been done. And Triple H with Orton and Umaga, and... they left him for dead, and that's, I don't care who the hell two guys are on one, that's the way it should be.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's like if two football teams play one, I would assume that two football teams are going to win. I don't know, maybe just me, but that's the way, I thought Helmsley did a good job of getting those guys over, and Hunter's in a position where he's not, doesn't need to get over.
Yeah.
You know, and Michaels coming back is a godsend.
Oh, yeah.
And when I say that, it's a talent. I mean, he's somebody that can lead a match. They've sorely needed that.
And I thought that was really cool that they got away with it without anybody knowing about it. You know, there was just a story last week that it came out that said Shawn Michaels may not be back at all. He kinda wants to stay at home.
And all you people who don't have a life that were slow-motioning tape and watching all this thing for – I'm under the impression Jericho will be back, but it's probably going to be at Cyber Sunday. Which,
yes.
You know, history, you keep repeating mistakes. Cyber Sunday is a mistake. I'm sorry. It's just, you know, it is. But anyway.
What's bad about it?
I just think the
choices and the polls?
I think it's a bad concept.
Yeah.
And I think you'll also find that it doesn't draw.
Well, that's because,
that's because why? I mean, but the point is, it's supposed to, right?
It's supposed to draw, yes.
Yeah, okay. And if it doesn't, does what does that mean that the people that don't buy it are making a bad choice?
It draws as well as any of the other off shows.
No, I don't think so. But anyway. That's neither here nor there.
Here's an interesting thing about Cyber Sunday that came out.
I think very interesting. If next Sunday, when Dallas plays the Patriots that the commissioner of football comes on and says, you choose who's going to start be the starting quarterback for the Patriots. Okay?
I'm thinking this one over.
Huh?
But I'm thinking this one over.
You're gonna try to make sense out of that, Doc, and I won't live that long. Okay.
But no, I'll
be pushing up daisies before you can make sense of it, because it's one of the illogical things that the business has come to. And please forgive me if I'm not buying. Okay, and I'm not. All right. Real quick, let me. We have locked in November 9th and 10th in North Carolina. Two-day camp sponsored by High Spots. Ricky Steamboat will be with me there on the 9th. You can contact Sean at High Spots on their website or at 704-364-7818. 2 days of training, $75. And like I say, Ricky will be with me all day on Friday. They're running a show there Friday night, and then we'll train all day Saturday, and looking forward to it, as always. I saw TNA's first two-hour show.
And what's the verdict?
Want me to go on past that, or... Well, let me put it to you this way. In the first three matches, there were a total of 10 people running in.
Right.
Yeah. You say it like, yeah, okay, cool.
It is TNA.
No, it's not cool. It's insane.
I'm not saying yeah, nobody, like it's cool.
Nobody can remember a damn thing that happened in the first hour. They had an eight-man tag in the second hour, which saved the whole thing. In fact, they had run-ins in the damn promos. I'm sorry. And they proved why Pac-Man should have never been signed in the first place. So, to me, they didn't try to stuff 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag. They tried to stuff 20 pounds in a 10-pound bag.
Right.
They ran everybody in the friggin' territory in there. They had in the Pac-Man, the Team Pac-Man versus 3D. Then there's 10,000 tag teams came out, and everybody ran in. And I mean, it's just I didn't like it, and I see no value. I mean, well, it's like the pay-per-view coming up, and here we go. For those of you who think I'm a TNA hater, I'm not, but I'm somebody who tries to make sense of something. First of all, the reverse battle royal. I think one worst match of the year on the Observer polls last year. So they're redoing that. It's talking about history repeating itself.
Mm-hmm.
Bad history, good history, whatever kind of history. And that comes down to four guys. And when you use if that's not bad at 25 man, then they've got the 10 woman battle royal to crown a champion. And crowning champions of the battle royal is lame. You've got 2 hours of television. Why not run this women's tournament over a period of time? And how do you're putting five women in here that haven't even been on the roster in the past, and you're going to run them all in there. Okay, and now how does that get anybody over? Again, you've got the rest of your life to try to make logic, give me some explanation for that makes sense.
Right.
But, battle royals are – to me, the only time I ever promoted battle royals was at spot shows,
mm-hmm.
where you're probably never going back again,
right.
Because they're lame matches. I mean, they're to have two on the same show, plus they have more multi-men. I mean, they have 10,000 multi-men matches on this pay-per-view,
mm-hmm.
and they have the Chamber of Horrors or the whatever the hell it is. I don't know, but I mean, it's just it's gimmick city. And but the first 2 hour show was hurried, it was rushed. They were trying to get everybody on the roster out there, and they may have succeeded, and I couldn't tell you what the hell happened.
I can't tell you the fallout. The rating, 1.1.
Well,
does that sound familiar?
Huh?
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, that's what it was when it was an hour.
That's what they always got.
Well, between a 0.9 to 1.1, whatever.
Right. And that's got to be a little disheartening, because people didn't know what to expect out of the two-hour show, and you figured it would have got some more curious viewers, but it didn't.
And, somebody will say Les Thatcher probably wrote this, but I didn't. But I read this on the Observer website. It's first in a series of letters called Dear Dixie, the state of TNA. Dear Dixie.
I love it already.
I watched your first two-hour program and wanted to offer you my thoughts. Who I am is not important, but please consider me a friend. I don't want to waste any of your time, so I'll cut right to the chase. You need to make a lot of changes, some big, some small, but a lot of changes nonetheless. Your inner circle has never had your best interest at heart, only theirs. You need to change that as well. The dramatic opening used to be interesting, but it hasn't been interesting in a very long time. The tone of the product never backs up the tone of the opening. You have a guy in a very serious voice talking about the heart and spirit of TNA. Even if I try to buy into what he's saying, he loses me as soon as I remember that the name of the company is a sexual pun. Black Rain and Rhino wasn't a bad match, but I have to question why Black Rain is on the roster, let alone why he would be the first guy to walk out on a two-hour debut. Nothing against Dustin, but his best days are far behind him, and he doesn't have any potential to draw you money.
Ouch.
Every second of television, of TV time given to him could be spent building a new star. Anybody looking for cartoon wrestling has 5 hours of Vince's TV that they could watch and 14 pay-per-views to buy. TNA will always be second fiddle to fans looking for that kind of programming, and the majority of them will never buy a second pay-per-view each month. If you aren't looking to attract a new audience or the audience that doesn't enjoy Vince's TV anymore, you're wasting your time. Black Rain accomplishes none of that, regardless of who he's friends with. Also, it's worth pointing out that in the first match alone, you had Raven, Abyss, Jim Mitchell, Havoc, and Sting run in, as well as Kurt on the screen. Let me ask you something. When the show is over, if you ask your viewers to name who was in that segment, would they be able to remember even half the people that were involved or what they did? There's my point right there. And I read this after I had watched it, obviously. And that was the other thing, too. They're redoing stuff. I mean, did they not do this whole thing with Sting's family once before?
Yes.
Okay. Well, they had Kurt Angle at the football field watching his son play football.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And like he was a pedophile or something. I don't know. The X Division is supposed to set TNA apart. But in the last 5 years, it's never been explained what makes it a division. Yes, it's cute to say there are no limits. Doc, have you heard this before?
Yes.
When you tried to say, it's no limits. But there are no limits in the heavyweight division either. If TNA isn't sure how it's a division, what are the fans supposed to think? Also, with all the random X Division guys blending together, how is Jay Lethal supposed to get over his champion when he's beaten down so easily by Team 3D and grouped with Sanjay Dutt and Sharkboy, who are essentially the curtain crew? I honestly couldn't tell you what was said by Robert Roode. All the edits were so distracting and amateurish that I can't even believe the segment made the air. If Sting is wandering around like an overreacting lunatic all night, what about that is supposed to be appealing to the audience? What percentage of your fans have children old enough to play high school football? I hope your demos say that it's very high, because anyone else in the audience would have a lot of trouble relating to the erotic Sting in this situation. All Kurt is doing is sitting in the crowd. Does Sting think Kurt is going to rape his kid with cameras rolling? What exactly is Sting so worried about? Also, let's even say it's some awful act being committed by Kurt. Why is the camera cutting away quickly while the announcers completely ignore it? I know that Jackie and Gail wrestled, but I pretty much forgot about it. I don't think I'm alone. Another segment with a half dozen people walking out. How is the viewer supposed to keep track of everyone and everything when so much is always happening and nothing is important enough to cause a momentary pause so everyone can take a breath and try to digest?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of women, I think I remember two of them arguing over who was the interviewer, and that's true too. They had this the one girl was an interviewer and she'd gone off and she came back and she's arguing with this other girl and you're taking my spot. And now I'm sure somebody will buy the pay per view for that. Team Pac-Man versus Team 3D ends when VKM runs out yet another time. Then the Steiners come out. I'm exhausted from trying to keep track of everything. Do you not see how this is a problem? The noise that Don West makes each time he breathes is very irritating. Honestly, and the announcers are irritating. Excuse me while I turn the page. In general, why are they screaming at me all the time? What did I do to deserve this? If you act like everything is super important, well, then nothing is important. Everything just becomes ordinary. Have I made that point how many times?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure.
If somebody walking to the ring you have multiple orgasms, then what, you know, where do you go from there?
Right.
Where do you go from there?
Anticlimactic.
Yeah. Exactly what they said here. Nothing becomes, everything's ordinary then.
Right.
Because you're screaming all the time. Let's say that I was one of the few people that was excited about the gauntlet match at Bound for Glory. Why should I still be excited about it after seeing it already? Unconventional matches are supposed to create interest because of their novelty effect or novelty factor.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I see these gauntlet matches all the time. Again, I've said this before.
Mm-hmm.
You keep doing the same crap over and over. What is their appeal supposed to be? I guess if I really liked ring entrances, they would be kind of cool. Eric Young used to be an entertaining distraction, but now he's an overused attraction. Sadly, I wish he'd been fired after all. Another lightning flash edit during the Christian segment backstage. Are you for serious? I don't know what to say other than wow. You have 2 primetime hours on basic cable. There's no excuse for something so hokey to be done so many times on the show. Has Kurt heard of TiVo or YouTube? Why does he still think Sting slapped his wife? If every program has a dramatic video package to try to make it seem special, how is any program actually special? Good point. The main event was really good, and the 8-man tag is much better way to get guys on TV than a gauntlet or 6-way. But seriously, how many guys have been on this show? How am I supposed to remember who they were or what they did? The show wasn't bad, just mind-numbing. There was nothing about it that made me want to buy the pay-per-view, which should be the goal. Again, I've heard that before.
Right.
It's really hard to remember what happened when so much happened. I do remember very strange and heavy breathing being extremely audible times at the end of the main event. This combined with Don West's signature breathing noise made me very uncomfortable. Healy Skipper ended up in the ring during the 8-man tag starts to make me wonder if it's even possible for a match to take place on Impact without someone interfering. Good point.
Yeah.
Okay, Kurt just assaulted Sting's kid, and now a music video is playing. Do you not see how this completely minimizes what just happened? If there was still time left in the broadcast, how could the producer justify ignoring what just happened, just took place? It's one thing if you fade to black, but the cut to a highlight video is just so awkward, and this mistake has been made many times before. If I'm learning anything in the last 5 years, is that when TNA makes a mistake, I can expect to see it repeated many times and never addressed. What are you waiting for, Dixie? Unless you clean house, you're just going to keep treading water. TNA needs to sink or swim already. You've got 2 hours, no more excuses, anonymous friend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who is this mystery man?
Well, I don't know. I just printed it out.
Are you sure that's not you, Les?
No, it's not me, but it sure sounds like me, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Or you know what? It sounds like a lot of people.
It does.
But, the point here again, let me emphasize, for those of you who think I'm bashing TNA or I'm reading this to insult TNA, I have friends in TNA. I want to see the wrestling industry as a whole flourish. I've been in the business 47 years. I want to see it succeed. I want to see 20 more TNAs. That means a lot of more wrestlers will be employed,
mm-hmm.
right? But everything this letter says is true. Plain and simple, it's a fact. Oh, I just told you, there were 10 run-ins in the first 3 matches.
Yes.
I mean, my God. You know what? I told Brian Alvarez, I did an interview on Figure 4 Daily last week after our I think it was Wednesday after our show, or Thursday, whatever. It must have been Friday. It must have been Friday because the TNA show had been on. And I said, we used to call these segments where they try to squeeze a bunch of guys in on an interview or have the run-ins. I used to call it the American Bandstand segment, because a lot of you aren't old enough to remember American Bandstand. But Dick Clark used to have one segment in the show where everybody filed past and you say, "Hi, Doc Young, 17 from Kokomo High School. Hi, Les Thatcher, 16 from Central High School." Since, you know, and they give their name and their age and their high school,
right?
And of course, by the end of the segment, you know, unless you knew actually knew one of those people, you had no clue who the hell was on there, right?
Right.
Well, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You've ran all these people into the match, and none of them are in the match. The star, now there was a match. The women's match was going to be Gail Kim and Jackie. And of course, then Chris Harris had to come out with Gail, and of course Storm came out with Jackie, and then Roxy LeBeau came out, and of course DKM came out with her, and then who else came? I forget who else came out. But anyway, I mean, it was just that. But that's the point.
Yeah.
I forgot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at one point, there were seven people outside this ring. And there was two girls in the match. And then, that's right, your girl Chrissy Hemme came out with the big goof that can't work, who she sucks tongue with all the time.
Hoyt,
yeah. And who else came out with? Somebody else came out with them. Anyway, yeah, so, Team Pac-Man, which was horrible. I mean, he you know, he has the expression of a wall. I'm looking at the wall in my living room now, and he has the same expression, personality.
Pac-Man is...
Same personality, yes. And then he, you know, with big baggy shorts and his sneakers and his skinny little body, and they're throwing a football, and they're taking pratfalls, and it's insane. It's, I'm thinking, why, Lord, why am I watching this so I can talk about it next Tuesday and make myself ill?
Right.
I guess, you know, and again, when I say this, I have friends, there's good talent there. There are people there who I know personally, who I, admire and respect, and who are my friends, but I mean, if they just keep this up, it's crazy.
Right.
It makes no friggin' sense. And like the man in the anonymous friend letter says, none of this is going to make you buy a pay-per-view.
No.
Like I said, they even had a run-in on the first two interviews, and then the two interview girls got in an argument over who was supposed to be doing the interview. And I'm thinking, well, I'll spend $40 for that.
Right.
You know?
All I can say, Les, is I am so happy I was not in the Thatcher household last Thursday.
My wife came in and took all the blunt instruments away, obviously, so I couldn't tear our television up. We have a
right.
big screen TV.
It's expensive.
We couldn't afford to replace it, right? I mean, it is mind-numbing. It really is.
Yeah.
And the fact that here's the thing. If you have two performers that are talented, and they have more than two on that roster, shouldn't they be able to go out and have a 5-minute or 6-minute match without half the friggin' city of Orlando running into the ring?
Right.
I mean, it's like you don't need a referee, you need a traffic cop. You know, a guy blowing a whistle, waving this. Okay, you 16 guys run in, and you 16 on the other side stop. Wait, now it's your turn.
Right.
I mean, it's just it's Keystone Cops.
And what I'm so afraid of is that it's by design. And
well, of course it's by design.
That they want this to go on. Like,
well,
I can understand. Like, I can understand, and it's probably the hope in me that is saying, okay, this was the 2-hour premiere. They want to get a lot of faces being seen, so you'll remember next time when they actually try to tell a story.
But it comes back to the thing about the girl. Okay, you've got 5 girls on your roster who have already beat the hell out of each other in a 5-way, right?
Right.
Okay, then you're bringing 5 new faces in, and who are the good chance is none of them have been seen on television before, at least not by the majority of people that are watching your show.
Right.
So you're going to run them all out there in a battle royal, which is going to get nobody over. It's going to be a cluster of arms and legs and breasts because it's women, and nobody's going to stand out. Now, with 2-hour show to showcase and to make your women's title actually mean something, why not have a tournament and stretch it out over a few weeks, and then and hold the title up, and then and come down to your final two girls for your next pay-per-view or or for a pay-per-view. I don't know. This just makes sense to me.
Right. Actually make a pay-per-view match mean something.
And I heard they were trying to sign Joey Mercury and trying to get him back before this paper, to be on this pay-per-view.
Right.
But the other part of that is if he's not, you know, if he's not on your go-home TV show, then why waste him on your paper? You know, you get my point. The greatest thing, you've heard me use the word surprise, and that's all that's left in this business today.
Right.
And the surprise last night was the Heartbreak Kid, am I right?
Absolutely.
It popped everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the point is, now it's created some interest. And where you thought, oh, my God, we're going to see Triple H and Randy Orton again, aren't we? No, we're probably going to see Triple H and Umaga. And if Orton has to pick, if the fans are picking, they're going to pick Shawn Michaels to wrestle Orton, which, honestly, is something that's going to be fresh.
No, actually, this came out, and I guess they're already running ads in the D.C. area for SmackDown, or excuse me, for Cyber Sunday. But the poll question is who is going to referee the match, the main event. The main event is going to be Randy Orton versus Triple H.
I think that's been changed.
As far as I know, this is what I picked up today.
I'm thinking that you're going to have a choice between Triple H Sean and
I would hope so.
Somebody else, I think. I'm relatively sure. I read that somewhere today on the internet.
Okay, but I've noticed for the last few years, with last couple times at least with Cyber Sunday, the things that people get to pick on and choose in these polls is stuff that's kind of here or there. It would be like your case where you said, they bring out the two football teams and you get to pick who starts. It wouldn't be quite that, but sort of like, okay, bring out the two football teams, but what uniforms are they going to wear? Their home team, their home uniforms, or their home alternate uniforms? Those kind of things. That really doesn't have anything to do with it, but kind of does. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems like Cyber Sunday is making their polls that way. Especially with this fact of, you know, who's going to referee the main event. Because it really doesn't matter who's going to referee the main event.
Well, see, here's – exactly. But and here's the other – I think the other flaw in this particular thing is, am I going to spend $40 and cast my one vote? And what is my one vote going to mean?
Right.
You know, I mean, am I just think? Well, I know for $40, my vote will count. I'll win. So what if I don't? If last Cyber Sunday last year, I spent the $40 and I voted, and none of the people I voted for, or none of the situations I voted for, won. Is that encouraging me to buy again this year?
No.
No, it's not. I mean, not if you're not a gambler, right?
Right.
I mean, if I'm a gambler, I can go to Vegas and use my money in a better manner, or to the, down here to the Ohio River and get on one of the gambling boats, for God's sakes. You see my point?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. I think the reason, one of the reasons this particular thing doesn't sell a lot of buys is you are unsure what the hell you're going to see.
That's true.
I mean, we have a multiplex theater not far from us here, right? That I think it has 12 screens.
Mm-hmm.
And I might go over there and plop down $6.50 or $7, and they're going to say, okay, you're going behind this door. You don't know what ticket we're going to hand you. Well, the hell with you then. I'm not spending $7 for that. So why would I spend $40 for something else I'm unsure of?
That's a good point.
I thought so.
Good point.
Again, it's scary when it just all it is common sense and logic, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But again, everybody's so intent on coming up with something new when there's so many old things that if they were used properly, still work.
Old is the new.
Well, you know, see, that's the funny thing is a lot of the things that we did 40 years ago would be new today.
Right.
To you, right, or to somebody else. But, I mean, that's, again, I'm not excited about the Cyber Sunday for the very reasons I just stated, you know.
Right. It was never one of their biggest things, but I guess it's sort of a nod to the Internet fans.
Okay. Well, see, this show is on the Internet. And it's going to be for me to say that as a wrestling promoter, that would be the last. I'm sorry, I'm not catering to you people.
The Internet, actually.
I'm sorry, I'm not catering to you people. Can you, sprechen Sie Deutsch?
It's
do you understand English, what I just said?
I do, but it's more the fan base than everybody thinks it is.
But you know what? What you don't understand is that everyone's got a computer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do wrestling on a computer because I'm in the wrestling business.
Right.
You know what else I follow on the computer?
No.
Well, I don't either. Nothing. Nothing. N-O. I don't go on my computer to check the weather I read the morning paper.
Yeah.
You got to understand there's a lot of people there's a lot of young people that the reason they're physically unfit is because they own a computer.
Well, yeah.
Because they can't get out from behind it, right?
I don't disagree with that.
I mean, they don't go outside and play ball because they play on the computer.
Yeah.
But I mean, the point is that still, you got to realize wrestling is a niche, is a cult, if you want to call it that, pursuit. And the Internet is yet a smaller percentage of that cult. Do you realize there are a whole lot of people of course, now, I won't say Ring of Honor pretty much has a cult following like ECW did.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Impact Zone is a whole lot of the same people all the time because it's free.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, now there are obviously people that go to the amusement park that take the wrestling in. Since they happen to be there, but there are a whole lot of people from that area that show up week after week after week, right?
Right.
Okay. You're not working to a different audience. But now, if you watched Raw or if you watched SmackDown on Friday, you're probably going to see a fair percentage of that auditorium that have no clue that there's a Wrestling Weekly or that there's a PW Insider or that there's a Wrestling Observer. They're wrestling fans because they watch the television product. That scares you, doesn't it?
No.
No, but I mean, no, and when I say this, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not like I'm a racist against people with computers. I own one.
Right.
I work, you know, I do part of my work on a computer, but I'm just saying, as a wrestling promoter, I want to play to a broader. And that's one of the things that surprises me as well, because to me, I'm interested in playing to a broader audience to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm still of the mind that if the kids want to come, then we want mom and dad to bring them. That's why I would cover up your breasts and cut, you know, some of the innuendos out, because it's just. There's nothing wrong. Mick Foley will tell you that some of the best times he had with his dad was at the wrestling matches.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And, when Mick and I were on the national radio, public radio, there was a lady on there that had gone to a wrestling show. She didn't like wrestling, but her boyfriend had convinced her to go. And some guy's kids, who were very young, were swearing. Now, you know what? I've been a player in my time, is what you call it today. And brother, I've been around the block two or three times, but I don't want to subject my grandchildren to that.
Right.
You know, and what I did as a young man, is I wouldn't subject my, you know, I'm not going to go tell my 6-year-old granddaughter about it. So anyway, I'm more open to play to a wider base audience. That's my call. And so that's, again, it's not that I'm mad, you know, I'm again, Les Thatcher against computers or against the people of, you know, the computer world. It's just that I don't see playing to that that small percentage of people.
Not even for one pay-per-view a year.
Why? If it doesn't draw, why?
Like I said, it draws just as well as the other off ones.
Okay.
Then I suggest you'll get
more figures out of Dave Meltzer than if you get nothing else. So you go read those figures and see if I'm not right.
Okay, I'll have to see that.
The question was last year. It was done here in Cincinnati last year. The question was, why was it done last year? Because it drew so bad the year before.
Right.
And then it didn't draw very well this past year.
Right.
So then the question was, why? They probably won't do it again. Oh, yes, they will.
I think it's for the, just like the other off ones.
You walk around the corner and somebody smacks you in the mouth, you just keep walking around the corner. I keep getting smacked in the mouth. I can't figure it out. Well, stop going around the damn corner.
Pay-per-views, time is time, I think. And it's just a matter of how they build it up, and they don't try to build it up very well.
Well, see, that goes back to a point that I tried to make last week or made a couple times, is that, everybody stresses out about the writers. Everybody, talks about, everybody's a Monday night, what we call a Monday morning quarterback now.
Right.
Because, again, everybody's smart to the business to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. A lot of the fans that you see at live events on Raw and SmackDown couldn't sit down and have the conversation we're having.
Right.
Because it's not that important to them, right? Mm-hmm. They're trying to be entertained by professional wrestling. They don't even call it sports entertainment.
Right.
They don't even know what the hell sports entertainment is. I don't either, for Christ's sake. The point being, the pay-per-view, the networks are so concerned with ratings,
right?
That they want to, you've heard me say this before. One of the analogies that was given to me about psychology and about teasing the crowd and about doing things the right way in my business by the old-timers when I broke in was that you go to a strip club, the girls don't come out naked, put their clothes back on.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason for that, right?
Absolutely.
And that reason would be?
Anticipation.
There's nothing left to see, right?
Right.
So if you give everything away on Monday and Thursday and Friday, there's nothing to build to for that pay-per-view.
Right.
I see things now, and somebody will say, well, it's just the way it is. But that's not an answer. That's, it's like your mom saying, it's because I'm your mom.
Right.
Why do I have to do that? Because mom said so. And that's not necessarily always the logical explanation either, right?
No, but it's the one I give my daughter.
Exactly. And we've all been down that road, and that's sometimes, why do I want to buy this pay-per-view to see Doc wrestle Les when we've already seen Doc and Les wrestle every Monday night for the past month?
Right.
Or we've seen, Doc beat Les two mm-hmm. times already. Why do I want to buy a pay-per-view with the anticipation that Doc is going to beat him a third time?
What do you think about the whole, like when WWE was running in the 80s and they had, local guys come in and put over their top stars, and the top stars barely spoke to each other before
sure.
the pay-per-view.
And they're doing that again a little bit,
mm-hmm.
That was called, they called them enhancement guys.
Right.
That was the way, when I first started training guys, I'd take, when they come to town, I'd take two or three guys down to the matches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they might get used, they might not. We can sit and break this down. I don't see, especially with as weak as the roster is currently, beating anybody that's worth a damn. We went through this whole thing when Triple H beat up the entire tag team division a few weeks ago.
Right.
It made no sense.
No. I sort of felt like this a little bit last night at Raw too with Val Venus is supposed to be having this this big feud with Santina Marella. Santina Marella comes out. Well, I can't wrestle you tonight. You're wrestling Snitsky, and Snitsky just goes in and tears him apart. Now, who wants to see Santino versus Val? Who cares who wins?
Good,
he got torn apart.
See, Doc, you're catching on. And you may get it before I die. I may be able to pass on to the next world with a smile. Well, no, but see, that's the whole line. And you know, please, and I'm bored silly by hearing your generation say, well, that's you old guys. No, it's common.
Right.
Again, I reiterate, and I will continue to reiterate, I don't care if I'm 90 or how old I am or what year it is. It's the basics for a good dramatic movie are always going to be the same.
Right.
The basics for a good comedic movie are always going to be the same, and the basics for good professional wrestling are always going to be the same. Yes, the look of the character is going to change. The language is going to change. The color graphics are going to change. The special effects are going to change. But the basics are still the basics.
Right.
So, yes, they're defying all logic, and part of that is so Bonnie Hammer, is that her name, that manages USA, can
yes.
send a 20-page resume of her ideas for wrestling. Well, my answer to Bonnie is, Bonnie, we're going to send Santino Morella over to let him run the network.
Mm-hmm.
And Bonnie's going to go into a bend and say, you can't do that. I'm going to say, why, Bonnie? Well, he doesn't know how to run a network. Well, guess what, Bonnie? You don't know how to promote a goddamn wrestling match either.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So shut up and let's get on with it here.
Right.
I mean, please. I mean, no, what I'm saying is, and I understand the companies, and there's one of the things, you know, it's always been a stressful pressure position to be a booker, writer, call it what, and you know, creative person, call it whatever the hell you put any kind of tab on it you want, but it's always a stressful thing. It's like talking about Joe Torre being fired now by the Yankees, even though he's won 4 World Series for them, and
right.
after 12 years with the club, you know, you always know that a baseball manager is going to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
Or a football head coach is going to be fired. It's just a matter of when, right?
Right.
Well, you always knew the booker was going to change in the old days in the territory. And there's a revolving door of writers for the WWE now. But, you know, it's a stressful situation. And this only adds to the stress is that Spike Network has their ideas. I don't give a damn.
Right.
What you're right. You know, but the point is, and I understand they're concerned about numbers, but they don't understand the company's concerned about pay-per-views,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So, yes, we know you want a big number. You want a 4-1 or a 5-2. Oh, you'll have an orgasm over that. That's great. But if we give everything away for free every week, then what the hell is left to sell?
Right. And that's the network's problem with a lot of things, not just wrestling. They do that, too, to sitcoms and dramatic shows that they're on. They're always sending notes to the producers. Oh, you should
well,
do this,
yes,
you should
you
do
see,
that.
But the point is, like, tonight I'm recording Bones and Kane and Law & Order and Boston Legal and The Unit
mm-hmm.
and NCIS. Those are, you know what? But those shows, there's nothing else to buy. Right? They run on advertising.
Right.
They have a budget for the show, and then the network makes the show gets ratings. The network makes money off the commercial time.
Yes.
But those shows are what the value in that show is. If it's episodic, like this new show with Jimmy Smits, Kane. It's about sugarcane industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of the Sopranos with sugarcane. My wife and I have watched the first 2 weeks. It looks like a good show. But the whole point is it leaves you wanting something so you'll tune in the next week.
Right.
But they don't have a pay-per-view. See, that's the uniqueness of the wrestling business.
Right.
Back when I was a young man, the television was to sell you a ticket to the house show.
Yes.
And we didn't get – I mean, we tease you with things, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you and I are building toward a program, we it may be a long time before we even lock horns, and then we just may barely be a hit-and-run situation. But they're not going to give you the entire Thatcher Young match because then there's no reason for you to go down to the Coliseum and buy a ticket.
Right.
Right? So.
And that's what the networks need to understand.
Yes, exactly. I mean, and again, I also understand that they have to be, you know, you have to entertain, and the networks want numbers. But Brian Alvarez and I were talking about on his show last week, that this whole numbers thing wasn't so rabidly important before the Monday Night Wars, right?
Absolutely. It wasn't important at all.
You know, although wrestling, I was telling him that back in the 70s, I helped a PR man with Crockett, you know, Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, Jim Crockett Promotions. When I was in the office there, I helped them, a PR guy, put together a promotional package for the company. And in that, we had showed ratings for the TV stations that we used around the, you know, the territory over a three-state area. And one of them I'll never forget was the Asheville, North Carolina station. We ran our show ran 11 o'clock or 11 to 12 on Saturday night, I think it was. Anyway, it's a three-station market, right? Now you realize back then there were only three stations in that market, right?
Right.
We had 82% or 83% of the televisions turned on in that hour were on Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. Now that's insane, right?
That's better than the Super Bowl.
I'm sure it's unbelievable. But, of course, in today, that's the other part of today, too. Those kind of numbers aren't possible any longer.
Right.
Because in that same market, there's now cable. So there's 100 damn stations, right?
Right.
To spread that the wealth over. So, and I understand the stations have to make the networks have to make money. But then there, I think with wrestling and the promotions, at some point, there's got to be a happy medium.
Right.
You know.
I don't think, you know.
Because that's one of the things. No matter who does it, whether you're doing it right or you're doing it wrong, is that TNA's pay-per-views haven't reflected in the increased ratings on their television. And although WWE's numbers are good, their house shows have been relatively good, I guess, but the pay-per-views haven't been all that strong either. I mean, you know, WrestleMania is going to be good because you're building a whole year to it.
Right.
You know, it's just like the World Series, you know. People may not watch every baseball game for 162 games a year, but there's, you know, a lot of people watch the World Series, you know. So
that's true. And the network wouldn't dare send a message down to the NFL saying we think touchdown should be 10 points instead of 7.
No, or you know, let that guy dance in the end zone.
Right.
You know, I mean, but see that yeah, but see that that. Like with TNA, Spike TV has got some financial interest now. I guess they put up some of the money to get Sting, so they feel like they've got a right to say something. And
right.
and with USA, I suppose because she brought them back to the network. A, she feels they're committed to her. B, they do the cross promotion thing sometimes, which benefits both shows. You know, like the Donald Trump thing, his show wasn't gandering good numbers, so they put him on with Vince to hope that there was going to be a crossover, right?
Right.
But, you know, that's the funny thing, too. There's not, a lot of times, there's not, wrestling fans, if you really go by that, don't watch anything else but wrestling. I mean, you know, how many times.
There's no time to watch anything else.
You put a show on behind, well, now, somebody will watch that stupid Dr. Steve-O, I guess. I'm like Dave Shear with that. You know, if he passes on tomorrow, I won't miss him. I don't wish him any ill will. I mean, when I say pass on, maybe he'll pass on from the television world.
And yeah.
Get a job at a 7-Eleven or something. I don't.
He went to clown college, so.
Well, good.
He could work at the circus.
But no, but you see, so that's kind of the predicament wrestling's in.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It's tough stuff.
Yeah.
And
we got to move along here. Right?
We sure do. We're going to have Anna Martin. He is the webmaster of WrestleView.com. He's going to be joining us for Hot Topic in just a few minutes. Then we got a little bit more news to get to. And, of course, WWE Diva Search finalist Taryn Terrell is going to be with us. Yes. I'm so excited, Les. This is going to be...
I know, Doc. I can hear you breathing.
This is a breathing like Don West over here.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this. Whoever the anonymous friend there wrote that letter will be sending us a letter pretty soon. Please stop Doc from breathing.
You're like, I like Wrestling Weekly, but that Doc needs to stop that. Guys, join us in the live chat room, WrestlingWeekly.com. Submit your questions. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. It's Wrestling Weekly.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Brooklyn! Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures, you can obtain your need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Madmaniacs.com.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
All aboard!
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Here's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you. It's Wrestling Weekly, guys. On the line right now, he's the webmaster of WrestleView.com, joining us for our Hot Topic this week. Adam Martin is with us. Adam, thanks for being on the show.
Not a problem, Doc. It's good to be here, too. Good to hear, be with Les. You know, Les is in a bad mood today. He's just here. I feel like you're just disgruntled with everything. I mean, you hate the Internet fans. You hate Cyber Sunday.
I don't hate the Internet fans. I just don't. You know, I don't see the value. I'm not Vince Russo.
We don't want you to be.
I refuse to play the game.
See, Les is only in this mood tonight because he had to watch TNA on Thursday.
Oh, that's probably why. That would probably leave a bad taste in anybody. Although I thought that main event was good.
He'll be okay.
Yeah, I did too. I thought if they just had the last hour and got rid of the first hour, it would have been a great show.
Hopefully it's not a sign of things to come. But speaking of TNA, the hot topic this week, tell us what's going on with this whole Kurt Angle DUI thing.
Well, this was crazy because I guess this took place last Friday, and it took place the week before they were going to do their debut show. And it was weird because they did a conference call with Dixie Carter on Wednesday, which was last Wednesday, and they plugged that Kurt Angle was going to be on the Between the Ropes show.
Right.
And so that, and TNA's Ross Foreman said that, so that was the indicator that as of like Wednesday afternoon, they had no idea that he had been arrested, that there was a DUI, because that report broke pretty, I go on it maybe a little bit after 10 o'clock Eastern on Wednesday night.
But this DUI happened on the previous Friday. It was
previous Friday. So it was pretty quiet. It was kind of weird that that didn't get picked up, and then it was just kind of some local Pittsburgh affiliates that picked it up. And then as soon as the Associated Press picked it up, it got all over the place. Although ESPN and places like that, they didn't really jump on it as I thought they would. But it started making the rounds. There was a report, I think it was KDKA in Pittsburgh, and they had a reporter actually go to the Engel house, and he walked up to the front door, and they had the camera set up really, really far away across the street, but it was zoomed in, and he knocked on the door, and it sounded like Karen Engel, and he asked to talk to Kurt Angle, and she slammed the door in his face. And so they're not talking to anybody, but the gist of it was that I guess he had been drinking kind of fairly early in the afternoon on a Friday, and I guess he drove home intoxicated because someone said that he almost ran over a woman. A woman reported almost being ran over by him, and he was driving really, really bad, and she took his license plate down, reported it to the police, and they went to his house. And when they showed up, he was obviously intoxicated, and I guess he had anti-inflammatory, he had pills in his mouth, which are anti-inflammatory medication. And they noticed he was pretty intoxicated. He refused to take a blood test, but by doing that, he's risking having his license suspended for up to a year. But TNA has not commented on this. Nobody from that company has said a thing about it. Anybody that's been contacted, I've tried to talk to pretty much anybody you could talk to in that company about it, and they all say, I don't want to talk about that.
Right.
So they're keeping it very, very low-key, and they're just kind of hoping it goes away at this point.
Now, Adam, don't you think, I mean, well, I've always felt, and listen, I'm no goody-goody two-shoes myself. I said earlier tonight, I've been around the block a couple times, but I always felt that when I whatever promotion I worked for, that when I was out in public, I was however I was perceived, that the promotion was perceived as well, and your public image is your public image, and I think now in light of what's happened over the past year, any of us in the wrestling business, you talk about goody two shoes. Now's the time you better be that, I think.
Yeah, I would say so too. I mean, and I don't know. I've had some people tell me, do you think Kurt Angle should be, should he lose the title this Sunday at Bound for Glory because of this? And I don't know. I mean, I don't really. I don't want to kind of jump on what you guys were saying before about, kind of some of the internet fans not being crazy about the older wrestlers. But I really just, in 2007, I don't see what Sting as world champion brings to the table for that company, because they've done it before and it didn't work out. I mean, he won the title at last year's Bound for Glory, and if anything, Sting did, he popped a rating for them in 2005, late 2005, early 2006, and that was pretty much all that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't work house shows. He doesn't appear at FanFest. He has one of the biggest contracts in that company, and I still think Sting is a very good worker at his age. But honestly, to me, a DUI, it's a big deal, but a lot of people a lot of people in sports have had DUIs, and a lot of celebrities have had DUIs, and it's a bad decision to do so. But I mean, I think all of us have been in a position where you're out drinking, and they say even if you're buzzed, buzz driving is drunk driving. But
right.
We've all been in that position where maybe we shouldn't be driving, but we'd still do. And I don't want to say that this is, I'm trying to excuse what Kurt Angle did, but at the same time, I don't think it warrants taking the belt off him. It obviously wasn't the kind of publicity they wanted going into that first 2-hour show, but it was relatively quiet in the Pittsburgh area, and then when like TMZ.com, which is a really, really popular gossip website, when they picked it up, it started making the rounds, and then as soon as the AP picks up anything, it's going to be red.
Right.
But I mean, I understand what Les was saying, in that when you're in public, you're representing your company, you're representing yourself. Well, one of the things I always noticed, though, and I'm sure Les may agree with this too, is that when somebody gets in trouble, one of the first things people that are in charge in wrestling promotions, they say, well, they're independent contractors, and what they do we're not responsible for. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. I mean, they do represent your company, but as soon as one of their performers does something bad, they immediately jump to the independent contractor thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think what he, it's like, I forget which one of the ball players with the Bears, was a Lamborghini or a Ferrari or something, $300,000 car he wrecked and walked away from, it's in this day and age, it seems, well, we can go to Pac-Man Jones, right?
Right.
Forget him as in the wrestling community.
Go right to
the football community. Why is he not playing football this year?
Right.
You know, he's trying to actually get reinstated right now. He thinks he's done enough to be reinstated, and it's funny because a lot of people don't see him being with TNA past the pay-per-view this Sunday, which might be good news for a lot of people.
Well,
yeah.
I don't see the point.
I watch on ESPN, pardon the interruption, which is on it's a half-hour show, and it's pretty much two guys, Tony Kornheiser and his partner, are debating, the news items in sports, in professional sports. I DVR it and watch it because it pretty much, you know, you don't have to watch 2 hours of a show. They pretty much cover everything. And yesterday, I think one of them brought up the fact that Pac-Man Jones says now he should be reinstated. They said, what has he done? He said, well, he wrestled. And one guy said, no, he hadn't even done that.
Yeah.
And they just shrugged it off and went on, you know. Like, and in truth, what has he done that he would make that kind of statement, you know?
Now, Kurt Angle's defense attorney came out, and I guess he told WTAE, and this is funny because it's really carefully worded, but he says that the law enforcement officials they have no firsthand knowledge of him operating a vehicle. They don't have any evidence of him operating a vehicle while intoxicated, which is true.
Yeah.
This is a fact. They did not catch him, is basically what this lawyer is saying.
No. But now, as Adam said, somebody turned in the license. Well, there were two reports. One just mentioned the color. I forget what it was, whatever color, white Escalade,
yeah,
or whatever, blue Escalade, whatever it was. And then the second call was on the same type of vehicle, only this time was with a license number.
Right.
So either he or Karen or one of the kids were out driving it.
Kurt Jr., I don't know. But, yeah, this is true, too. So,
yeah.
Les, let me ask you, what would you do in this situation? Let's say you're the promoter, Kurt Angle's working for you, this whole story happened just the way it happened. What would be your course of action?
Well, I think, the lawyer obviously has, they've taken the stance it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess up until they either decide it did or it didn't, I don't know what the course of action, I mean, you know, since he was arrested, since there, was a warrant, my thought would be that, you know, some sort of, you know, apology that I should have known, you know, the whole Michael Vick, what's the girl's name? We just gave her Olympic medals back.
Marion Jones.
Right, exactly. I mean, my God, you know, talk about. Tremendous. I mean, your apology couldn't get any stronger than that, could it?
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Angle should get back his Olympic medal, but I think as a promoter, you've got to say something,
mm-hmm.
right? You've got to take a stance. But I think, it's like here in Cincinnati with the Bengals. You know, they've had some guys with DUIs and this and that. Their stance usually is until. The law comes down with a verdict, then we have nothing to say. You know, we can't proceed. In other words, if this football player is proven guilty, then we will take action. If he's exonerated, then there's nothing to say anyway. You know,
right.
So I guess at this point you've almost got to take that stance because Kurt's lawyer is denying that the car actually drove itself. And, that's why it was bouncing around.
Now, I don't think the lawyer's saying that. He's saying you didn't catch him, so he didn't do it.
Yeah.
The wording. It didn't say he didn't do it.
But apparently he failed the field sobriety test,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, he did. Failed sobriety.
Definitely intoxicated, yeah.
Yeah.
So who knows, yeah.
My question would have been, too, is, excuse me, why do you answer the door with pills in your mouth?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a concern.
That just doesn't make any sense to me.
What's the significance of the anti-inflammatories?
Well, anybody can buy those. I mean, it's kind of just if someone, if you've been drinking a lot or you want to, if your body reacts weird to alcohol or any kind of other substance you take, I mean, it's over-the-counter stuff. It's nothing illegal, but
yeah.
It's still interesting that he would have, this is just what the police said. They said he had pills in his mouth. I don't know if he was, shoving like 30 of them in his mouth or anything like that.
But is this something that drinkers take to sober up? Or
I don't think it's. I think it's more just controlling your body from coming down from
Okay.
You know, a buzz and
cure the hangover.
Yeah, maybe cure the hangover, be in preparation. I mean, anybody can buy them, but if I was Dixie Carter, I would have been concerned if I found this out through the news and not from Kurt Angle himself. And one of the things I tried to find out was if anybody knew beforehand, and no one seems to have an answer for that. So that leads me to believe that they didn't. I mean, especially if their public relations guy plugs that Kurt Angle is going to be on a radio show later that night, and then they have to cancel because all this stuff comes out. It led me to believe that they didn't know, but I'd be very concerned if I'm the president of TNA and I don't get a phone call from Kurt Angle on Friday or Saturday letting me know what went down and what happened before I find out the news myself, you know.
And you know something that I haven't seen written anywhere, although I'm sure a lot of people have thought it, I've had a couple people voice to me, was, do you think he passed on the blood test because it was going to come up with something other than the fact that he had alcohol?
That's very true.
Yeah. That I didn't think of.
So, I mean, and of course, it goes back to what I said earlier. With the current climate of the industry being out there in the public view with the drugs and steroids and deaths, that's going to be their first thought anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to me, it's my thought is if there is nothing to hide, then don't hide anything.
That's true.
You know, I mean, because, you know, that's obviously more in the favor of everybody, the company, the individual, and everything.
There are certain situations where you can just ignore something and it'll go away, but this isn't one of them.
And they're doing a good job of ignoring it. I mean, they're just not saying a thing about it, no comments, no nothing, and they probably didn't want that going into their two-hour show with Kurt being one of the major focuses of that show. With the whole promos with Sting going back and forth live from California or wherever they did, whatever they were doing, whatever they were trying to do.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, it's funny how, I mean, it just surprised me to such a degree that happened on a Friday, and it was breaking news on a Wednesday, and people in that company just had no idea, and that's a lack of communication. That could be Kurt Angle maybe hoping that it wouldn't have gotten picked up by the local media.
I can't see how he thought that they wouldn't have found this out, you know.
I know. That's what really surprised me. Maybe he did tell them, and maybe they did know. But.
And in this day and age, every company, I don't care if it's sports or entertainment or what it is usually has a spin doctor in-house to take care of these sort of things anyway.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's what Ross Foreman's job is, and he didn't know. So that's what led a lot of people to believe that they didn't know. So.
Right. Adam, I want to thank you for being on. I know we had to cut it short this week, but, you know, problems happen.
That's all right.
Adam,
problems that are no one's fault.
I hope your technology is better than our technology.
I've had issues in the past, so I can relate to Doc. It's not a fun job to
see,
do
it's not just
yourself. So.
It's not
I envision
just me.
Doc sitting in the studio pedaling an old bicycle, keeping the power going, right? And
exactly.
While he gets tired or his leg gets cramped, and we go off the air.
Very true.
Oh. Adam, we'll see you again in a few weeks. Guys, check out WrestleView.com. All the good news stories over there.
Thank you very much, Doc. See you guys later.
Adam, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, Les. Talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Les, it is time to find out who won the pay-per-view prediction game from last week.
Okay.
Of course, we're talking about the No Mercy pay-per-view.
God, half the matches were made on the fly there, so we probably didn't.
There probably not,
about it
might
anyway.
Not be too many that that were actually contested. But let's go ahead and start off where we started
all
off
right.
Last week with the women's championship. It was Candice Michelle taking on Beth Phoenix. Les, you went with Beth on this one, and I went with Candice. I don't know why.
I don't know
I
why.
I feel silly
I
now.
I know why, but we won't even get into that.
No, if we went there, I would have went with Beth Phoenix, actually.
Oh, okay.
That's just me. I'm a Beth kind of guy. Rey Mysterio and Finley ended in a no contest. You and I, Les, had both went with Ray Ray on this one.
Yeah.
Triple H and Umaga, which, well, Triple H did defeat Umaga, of course, and then we saw him a few other times in that night, but we'll just go ahead and go with Triple H on that one. Me and you went, both chose Triple H on that. ECW Championship match was supposed to be CM Punk. It was supposed to be the winner of Burke or Dreamer. As we saw, of course, last week on ECW, it was neither one of those guys. Both of us had went with Burke on this one to win that match, though, by the way. Ended up being Big Daddy V. He did win by disqualification. This is going to be a weird thing here, because you had went with Elijah Burke to not only go and go over on ECW to go to the championship match, but you chose him as the new champion. I went with Elijah Burke to win the ECW match and chose CM Punk to retain his title.
Okay.
So that gave me a point.
Okay.
Next up is Batista versus Kali, Punjabi style. Batista ended up winning that. You and I, Les, had went with Batista on that. That's a point each. And Randy Orton versus, it, of course, turned out to be Triple H. Twice. So how are we going to do this one, Les? Because
Give up.
I went with whoever was supposed to go with, whoever was supposed to fight Randy Orton was going to win the title. Which did happen, sort of.
Yeah.
And you went with Orton to retain.
And Randy Orton also won the title.
Which you went with. So I'm going to give us a point each for that. One for me, one for you.
Okay.
That put me up 4-2, Les.
Okay.
I am victorious again.
Well, of course you are.
As per usual.
Yeah, you're a magnificent human being, and I don't know if I can say that enough.
I'm interested in hearing how everybody else did, so send us emails and tell us how you guys did. For those who were wondering, of course, Dwayne The Rock Johnson's new movie, The Game Plan, is the number one movie in the country for 2 weeks in a row.
You know, we haven't seen it. I think the wife and I are probably going to go see that tomorrow.
It looks cute for what it is. I mean,
yeah,
it would be something that I would take my daughter to see. And I like The Rock, and I like his personality.
My wife used to babysit Dwayne.
Really?
When he was a little boy.
Little boy.
Yeah.
Right. That's really cool. But yeah, so that would be something even more special to you to go see that movie.
Yeah.
$16 million it made last week, and it's grossed $43.2 million in 2 weeks. Number one for two
weeks.
Yeah,
it was the number one over 2 weekends.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's strong.
So still kicking butt. The Rock's next movie, for those of you wondering, is coming out in 2008, and it is a big screen remake of Get Smart. It's gonna be cool. It sounds cool. But Steve Carell from The Office stars in this movie. He's Maxwell Smart, and Anne Hathaway is playing Agent 99, and The Rock is playing Agent 23. Which I don't think it's not.
There was no Agent 23 in the original.
Right, this is made for the movie, and it's not a small role or anything. Like, it's not a cameo. The Rock's got, from what I hear, a decent part in this movie. So
yeah. Dwayne's doing all right for himself.
He certainly is, and he's got he's got two on the way next year, and stuff that he's already in talks with, for after that. So, I mean, he's just rolling along.
Yes, he is.
Some bad news, of course, that we do have to get to, but it's been reported, according to new court documents, that the passenger who was in Nick Hogan's Toyota Supra when the two had an accident, he remains on life support.
Yeah.
He's still...
Will have to, I guess, spend the rest of his life in a nursing home.
Yes, this is what they're saying. I guess the nurse who compiled the report said that Graziano... He responds to a pinch. He has gag reflex, but he doesn't respond to touching or sounds or anything like that. His pupils are dilated. They don't respond. Technically he's not brain dead, but this
I don't know.
Very good.
God love him. He's in his own little personal hell, I guess.
Yes, and according to the doctor... they said the most improvement that he can probably will get is to be able to open his eyes and close them.
Yeah.
So it's pretty sad. It's a pretty sad story. I can't imagine what it's like to be in the Hogan family right now, to be in that household.
Yeah, yeah. And the kid has got to feel. I mean, if he's got any emotion in him at all, you know, he's got to feel pretty bad about this. I mean,
oh, really absolutely.
Does.
Yeah,
he really does.
And
of course, Hulk's going to be the new, one of the hosts on the new American Gladiators.
Did you like the old American Gladiators?
I used to watch it, yeah. Well, you know, Rico, who used to be with WWE, won the American Gladiators.
Yes. I probably even saw that one.
Yeah, Rico was a hell of an athlete. You know, he's a good guy. I like
American
anyway,
Gladiators was some tough stuff.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see, you know, what this one's about. I think, you know, with the public perception of Hulk and who he is and, you know, his personality, I think he'll fit well in there. I honestly do. I think it's a good match, you know, that particular type of show.
I'm wondering if he'd be able to stop himself from trying to compete in the show.
I would think so, yeah. With, you know, hip replacements and stuff, I pretty much think that he's not going to try it.
But you know he wants to.
Well, you know, I think once you know you have some competitive spirit, you've always got that spirit. And
sure.
At some point, you realize it don't happen anymore.
Right.
Been there, done that.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break, guys. When we come back, we've got Diva Search finalist Taryn Terrell. She's going to be with us, and she's got a lot to talk about. She survived the elimination last night. And we're
now, can she survive Doc Young for the next half hour? Stay tuned.
Absolutely. We don't need to say anything else. We'll be right back.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing, Luke? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
We know you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Brooklyn! Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
We'll be right back.
Doc Young, Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our featured guest. She is from the WWE Diva Search. She just made the top four just last night. Taryn Torello's with us. Guys, come into the chat room. Get your questions ready at www.wrestlingweekly.com.
Taryn, Taryn, I want to start the ball rolling, and not so much about wrestling or the Diva Search, but Doc had told me that you were involved in doing interviews for prospective Playboy shoots.
Yeah, actually.
Well, I mean, and when I say, first he said she's an interviewer for Playboy, and I've been probably a subscriber longer than you are old, but I enjoy the big interviews. But he said, well, it's not that. It's with some of the girls that do the photo shoots. And I still think that would be interesting because I realize that their personalities and background does play into the fact that they're, whether they do or do not do the shoots, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every time they choose a bunch of, you know, new girls every single month to do possible photo shoots with. And, I mean, obviously, you know, some girls get there and I'm interviewing them and it's like I'm doing everything I can to drag answers out. And, you know, and it's like, God, you're gorgeous, but there's nothing behind the body and the face. but it's fun. I mean, I get to see hot girls all the time and interact with them, so it's great.
Does that matter, though, if they don't look good? Isn't that all you need to do the photo shoot is to look good is what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the playmates, you know, they have to do, you know, once they get playmate, they definitely have to have personality because they're booked for appearances and events. And yeah, so then they have to interact with, you know, advertisers and stuff with Playboy. And so they have to be able to hold their own.
And, Doc, you would be considered a chauvinist pig, I think, in this situation.
I'm just,
all they got to do is look good.
I didn't advocate it. I just asked the question.
Doc segues me into another question. And I would think that in this day and age, that someone like yourself is interested in proving that you're more than just a look. Would I not be right?
You are very correct.
Well, you know, let me ask you about, obviously, trying professional wrestling, you know, you have to have some athletic skills. What is your athletic background? I mean, have you participated in sports in school or exactly what?
Yeah, I was in powerlifting. I competed at that state and national level. And I was a cheerleader, which, of course, everyone thinks, oh, just the cute girl that screams on the sidelines, you know. But I actually competed in co-ed cheerleading, which is stunts, and, you know, it's everything from gymnastics and acrobats to you know, and looking cute at the same time.
Well, you know, that's funny. I've done some personal training, and a few years ago, I trained one of the girls that was cheerleader for the University of Cincinnati here where I live, and I know she'd had knee surgery and was wearing knee braces. I thought, my God, you play on a football team or you're a cheerleader. So, quite strenuous physically, and you have to have some athletic ability for that, no doubt.
Absolutely, yeah. It's funny because, you know, I've taken falls, you know, because you're being thrown up 15 feet in the air, and, I mean, not every time the guy's going to catch you. Sometimes he's not paying attention or something, and I've definitely taken falls where, I mean, you just land on your back, and, you know, there's no ring there, there's no mat, there's nothing to catch you, you know, to help break your fall at all, so I'm used to falling.
Well, that's a start, believe me. I trained some of the WWE athletes for a while. Have you been a wrestling fan from the time you were a small girl, or is this just something that caught your fancy with the Diva Search?
Yeah, I have not been a fan since I was a small girl. I mean, it wasn't something that was a huge part of, you know, my family's life or anything like that. But I definitely, you know, was a fan probably getting around into high school. I was a fan of Shawn Michaels, and, you know, I'm so glad he's back. I'm really stoked about that.
Were you screaming at the TV last night?
Yeah, I was. That was so me. I'm like right at my TV, like as if, you know, I was like really there. I was like, you know, maybe. So that was me last night. But, you know, a year ago, I became friends with somebody who is a diehard wrestling fan. And so, you know, because I already had an interest, you know, I really started getting into it, you know, about a year ago. And then, you know, I got an email last March that said, want to wrestle? And I was like, hell yeah. So it's just been, it's been one of those things that it's just, it's grown and grown and grown.
So, I mean, so you're looking at it for the long haul. You hope to, I mean, not just to be a valet or a manager or an interviewer or eye candy. You actually want to wrestle then. Right?
You got it, 100%. That's, you know, when I'm going into it, you know, the subject line of the email was want to wrestle. And that's exactly what I wanted to do, you know, this whole time.
Right. Well, good. I think that's, you know, I think that's one of the things that that a lot of people think, well, if you look good, you can't be athletic, and if you're athletic, you can't look good. And I personally don't think that's the case. I think, you know, there's no reason you can't have both worlds, right?
I agree with you. Hey, and it makes it better when you have both worlds.
Exactly. I agree with you. Doc, you want to get in this conversation?
Yeah, I do have a question. Did you actually train before at all with anybody?
Not prior to the Diva Search, but since I've been in the Diva Search, you know, obviously, you know, I want to be able to, if I get the opportunity to be offered a contract and go to, you know, developmental training, then I want to be able to have a background. So I contacted a friend of mine who is a he's a professional Ultimate Fighter, and he is just signed with Elite XC.
Uh-huh.
And so we've been training and doing MMA, and we've been doing all kinds of stuff, you know, learning a little bit of Brazilian jiu-jitsu and judo and freestyle wrestling and kickboxing. And so it's been fun, and, you know, I'm starting to learn, you know, the falls and take bumps. And
have you gotten to the point where you don't know your own power and you accidentally hurt somebody?
You know, it's funny that you say that, because it's really surprising. I've been taking pictures and or having people take pictures of it, and I'm like, wow, I can actually do that.
Yeah,
I don't even realize it.
So how was the Diva Search when you got there? Like, I imagine this, just like, you know, a ton of women in the same place. They're all catty. They don't like each other. They want to be better than the other one. What's the atmosphere like at a Diva Search?
Were you there?
No, I wasn't.
No, you know, it's funny because you have like 50 girls who are all pretty girls.
Right.
And everyone is sizing up the competition. You know, you just see everyone looking around and trying to see, you know, who's better. And everyone's really fake nice,
mm-hmm.
You know, until they start making cuts and they're like, you know, you have to go home and you have to go home. And then people are like, whatever, I didn't even want to be here anyway. It's like, okay, why did you even show up?
See, I called it, Les. Didn't I call it?
Yes, you did. Well, you know, but it is competitive. And,
yes.
Of course, you know, you've got to have some competitive spirit. You just can't go in with the idea, well, if I do, fine. If I don't, fine. Am I right?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and there were certainly girls that were there that were like that as well, you know. And I think that, you know, I watched The Road to the Final Eight on WWE.com, and it showed, you know, the girls. And you definitely got that impression, you know, watching their videos, that they were just like, well, I'm here just to see if I can make it.
Yeah.
You know? And or my modeling agency called me up and told me to go here. You know? And it's like, and you looked at some of these girls, and it's like, okay, you're not an athlete.
Right.
You know, and I mean, okay, so maybe they're there just trying to be, you know, manager of LA, but I think those girls probably don't even know those terms.
No.
You know, I think you probably, of anyone that I, in my memory, have really been aggressive in getting out and letting the public know who you are and basically, you know, campaigning, you know, for the votes. And I think that shows that, you know, how bad you really want it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's important, I think, to get out there. And, you know, this Diva Search is done differently. You know, it's not live on Raw or on SmackDown. And, you know, it's kind of, it's online. So people are not always going to see it or not always going to log on. So, you know, my goal is to make sure people know about me and that they know exactly why I'm here. You know, I don't want people to make assumptions and to be like, well, I don't know why she's here. You know, no, I'm here, and I'm going to clearly state to you why I'm here.
Let me ask you, do you have any college background?
Yeah, I am finishing my degree in marketing.
Oh, really? Great.
Yeah, concentrating on sports marketing, actually.
All right. So you obviously then have something to fall back. If this weren't to work out, then you've obviously got a career direction then.
Absolutely. But I would tell you that it was my career goals have always been to be in the sports industry. And it's always been, you know, that's why I went into sports marketing. So.
Right. Good, good.
So I have a question for you. If you weren't, you're in the Final Four, of course, right now. If you weren't to make it, would you still continue to try to get into wrestling? Would you go to a wrestling school?
Yeah, absolutely. That's that's exactly what I would do. I would pay my tuition and go to a wrestling school and just wait it out, you know, and train hard and work hard.
Were there a lot? Would you say the majority of the Diva Search contestants were just there to be on TV or to do something else besides wrestle?
You know, it's hard to say, and certainly I can't speak on their behalf, and I don't know, you know, what everyone's intentions are. And I think a lot of people talk a lot of BS, you mm-hmm. know, and then you see them get eliminated. I know the first girl that got eliminated, Naomi, in one of her post interviews, she was like, "Well, I just did it just to see,
right,
how far I could get."
Do
and
think,
I'm like, oh, God, there were people that actually wanted this, you know?
Do you think that's a true statement coming out of her, or is it just sort of, you know, covering the ego type thing, you know? What am I trying to get at, Les?
No, well, I see what you're saying.
The point is, you've got to, you know, if you want it, you've got to take a shot at it.
Right.
And that's, again, it goes back to the competitive spirit. But I think if I'm going to vote for somebody and I hear that particular comment, then that doesn't, you know, regardless of her beauty or athletic ability, if she's just, hey, it's whatever, then my thought is, okay, then whatever.
Right.
You know,
right.
I prefer to vote for somebody who actually, you know, wants it that bad.
So. Definitely, definitely. I got a question from the chat room. Blue Rampage asks, who's your favorite female wrestler?
Right now, I would say Victoria and Mickey James, for sure. I mean, they're wrestlers, and they're hardcore, and I respect them. You know, I respect them in the ring.
Did you get to meet any of them?
No. I'm so bummed. Yeah, that's the kind of sucky thing is that, you know, because we did it all, you know, everything's all online and mm-hmm. we're not actually there, we don't get to go and meet everybody. We met Candice Michelle at the casting and audition process, and I actually met the great Khali not through any of the Diva Search stuff. I met him at Unforgiven.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, other than that, and I met Chyna at the Playboy Mansion, but other than that, that's the only people we've been able to meet.
Victoria was a fitness competitor before she got into business.
Yeah, she's. I like her. I really do. I think she's hardcore.
How tall are you?
I am 5'6".
So how much does Khali dwarf you?
Oh my goodness. The funny thing is I was actually standing on like a ledge. And he was still, like, so much taller. Like, oh, my God. I shook his hand, and my whole hand didn't even fit in the palm of his.
Now, they had the eliminations yesterday, and a lot of people said that Jessica Hatch was sort of a lock to be in there. She's been all over the place. She ended up being eliminated last night. How relieved were you, or was it relief?
You know, I definitely thought she had the potential to make it to the top three, for sure. I wasn't sure that she was, you know, a shoo-in to win it. I mean, it's hard to know. You know, it's hard to know because I'm not the fan base. I don't know. You know, I don't know what everyone's looking for. I know what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she certainly was athletic, and she certainly was doing a ton to get her name out there. And, you know, I definitely think that I think she would be a good diva. I think she needs some developing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it, you know, in the elimination video regarding her, is that I think she needs some developing, but I think that eventually she'd be really good.
Johnny Demonic in the chat room says, given a choice, would you rather be a Playboy Playmate or the WWE Women's Champion?
WWE Women's Champion. Hands down. Are you kidding?
You've already been a playmate, haven't you?
I've done a cover for Playboy, and it's funny because, you know, I've read actually a lot of criticism from people saying, oh, you know, I don't like the fact that she's done Playboy. You know, that proves that she wants to be there for other reasons, and she's trying to get Playboy again.
Mm-hmm.
Playboy. It's certainly a part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I'm not going to deny that. And I love doing Playboy. It's fun. And what I've said is that I would love to represent WWE and Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Playboy is supporting me 100%. They have a link on Playboy.com telling people to vote for me, and so it's really, you know, it's really cool. But no way. I actually the funny thing is I have no interest in being a playmate.
Right.
I've done a cover, College Girls cover, and that's cool. And like I said, if I'm going to do Playboy again, I would want it to be because, you know, it's the WrestleMania issue.
Right. The chat room, DiCapo in the chat room, he speaks for the whole chat room. They want to know what you're wearing right now.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I am wearing a 1984 Van Halen shirt.
Yes.
And boxers.
Excellent. There's your answer, chat room. But, I want to thank you for being on the show. It's been great. Can you give us a link to your MySpace page or anything?
Yeah, absolutely. My MySpace page is myspace.com/TNT1228.
Excellent.
And log on to WWE.com to get your votes in, and you can text Taryn to 44993. I sound like an infomercial, don't I?
TNT, what a great set of initials.
I know, right? Thank you, Mom.
Taryn Terrell, guys, WWE Diva Search finalist. Go on WWE.com and vote. There's only four left, and, of course, we're going to see the winner. And we'll see you, of course, at Cyber Sunday.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we want to wish you a lot of luck, Taryn. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
All right. Les, before we get out of here, got a little bit, a couple more news stories that I did want to get
okay.
to.
Okay.
And also we're going to run down the rest of this month's guests, because we got some good guests coming up.
Yeah, we got Jerry Lynn next week.
Yes, we do.
Right?
Jerry
and
Lynn
we
next
have
week. And
Bill DeMott the following week.
Bill DeMott, who, of course, if you're a newer fan, you'd know him as Hugh Morris. In WCW.
If you're an older fan, excuse me. Hugh, Bill, whatever. He spent some time here. He worked the filming show and also spent some time here with me when I had the WWE contract. So we'll be able to kick around some of the old times and see what he's up to.
Excellent.
And who else we got coming up? Anybody?
Nobody that I want to talk about right now.
Okay.
Nothing set in stone,
okay.
But
you're going to surprise us.
I'm going to surprise the awning. I'll tell you later, but you know, of course.
Okay. Cool.
I don't want to give anything away.
I got you.
Too much.
I got you. All right, you want to cover some other? What else we got?
Have
coming
you
up?
Heard this story that's running on PW Insider? This was going on between CM Punk and Tony Atlas.
Oh,
have you heard
my
this?
God. Oh, yeah.
I wanted to get your thoughts on this
I'll tell you, I honestly talked to somebody that was there, okay?
Uh-huh.
First of all, I am friends with both guys. I'm a fan of both guys, and neither guy handled it really well.
Mm-hmm.
There was this comment that Tony was – Tony's comment was I don't think he was picking on CM, as I'm told, but CM took it that well. But here's the deal. If Tony has been there, done that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you have a problem with my stance is, and when I say this, yes, I am one of the old guys now, but I was one of the young guys a long time ago, okay? And at that time, you take your criticisms or your critiques and you deal with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're all still learning.
Right.
I've been doing this 47 years, and I'm still learning. I don't give a damn what roster you're on. You're still learning. Someone made the comment, well, Tony wasn't a great worker. You know what? His mechanics is not part of this. He's been in thousands of matches, and in his mind, he knows what to do. If CM had a problem, Tony maybe I don't know if, you know, I have conflicting stories. I don't know that Tony called CM out as such at this meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was just pretty much laying it out for everybody.
But, yeah, I guess what it was he didn't call him out
now,
by name.
Now, let me say this. I know that CM's personality is taken by some people as him being aloof or cheeky or cocky or whatever. But I have never, I don't take him that way. I've never perceived him that way. As you remember, we had Colt Cabana on here. He and CM and Ace all worked for me back before they were big stars. And but I can say I've known Tony since the day he broke into business. He's not a vindictive guy with a chip on his shoulder. I'm sure he meant to be helpful. But now I'm going to say this. Punk should have taken, kept his mouth shut, and once this whole thing was over, called Tony off to the side and said, look, I don't agree with you for this reason. I can't say that I always agreed with the veterans that critiqued me, but I knew enough. They've been where you have yet to go.
Right.
And whether they're right or wrong is not even the point. They are the veterans. And you give them that respect, and you move on. And that's, but he opened it up for public debate, and so Tony came back at him.
Right.
Again, they neither one handled it the way I think it should have been handled. You
right.
know. Now I know there's talk that the whole developmental thing is a tightrope at best. The one thing we all have in common, I don't care what age it is, we have egos. A lot of the developmental guys think, you know, and I also heard what you're commenting on was on Insider. That they feel, well, they can never do anything right.
Right.
Well, here's a funny thing I'm going to tell you. When we mentioned with the young lady was just on.
Taryn.
Yeah, about having developmental in, and I mentioned Bill DeMond. Well, I'm going to tell you, when we did our TV on Sundays down at OVW, we brought a rough cut of that back with us. And on Mondays, after we trained, we sat down, or before we trained, one of the two, we'd look at that tape. And now, let's say, for example, that D'Lo was here, Val Venus, Bill, Haku, and myself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Five guys who have all been to the dance, okay? Now, here's the crazy thing. Now, we'd go through a match, and we'd all see probably a lot of the same things, but then there was a chance that all of us would see different things. So that's why you have multiple views, and I just can't do anything right. Well, you know what? Here's part of the problem is, first of all, when you come into developmental, that you're being hired for what your potential is, not for what you are that moment,
mm-hmm.
right? Second of all, a lot there, you know, you and I have been down this road before. Young trainers can only teach what they themselves know, okay? So, and you're going to, the point of you being there is to be picked apart. If you're going there for, like, your mother to pat you on the head and say what a great child you are, then you're going to the wrong place.
Right.
If you're thin-skinned, then you're in the wrong place, okay? So that's disgruntled developmental guys is like saying, I don't know, like, you know, basketball players are tall. You know, they all want to move up. They all want to be patted on the head. And that's, you know, and it's not that they're never told, you know. And then I also heard, he said the same thing that Robert Gibson said, so maybe Robert goaded him into it. No, if he said the same thing that Robert Gibson said, then guess what? He's probably right.
Yeah.
Because he didn't say it because Robert told him to say it. He said it because he saw it. Now, there was a comment I understand was made that he said that in a multi-man tag that they had all beat on Sean Spears over punched and kicked him, and he said, Sean, stand up. Does anybody see a mark on him? His point was not that they should have beat him up, but his point was that they should have not just punched and kicked him, but maybe they should have used hold or strangled him because you can't punch a guy in the face 1,000 times without marking him.
Right.
Okay? So basically what he was saying was, you've proven to the people that it's a work.
Mm-hmm.
And again, your job is to suspend their disbelief. Okay?
Well said.
So that's, yeah. And this, you know, and sadly enough that it made it outside of the, because I had heard about it long before it was written about.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have never brought it up.
Right.
But see, there, and there's mixed signals from there, too. Well, he was sent there for a reason, okay? And you know, everybody that ever came through my place found a lot of the same shortcomings of the talent that I did, but they also, sometimes they saw something that I missed, or I saw something that they missed. And that is you know, Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl. Peyton Manning is one of the greatest quarterbacks currently in the NFL. But you know what? There is a quarterback's coach with the Indianapolis Colts, and his reason for being there is to make Peyton Manning better. And when Peyton Manning listens, when this coach talks, guess what? Peyton is supposed to listen.
Right.
Okay? And he's making more money than CM will probably ever in 1 year than, and I'm not saying that in a disparaging way. I'm not saying it in an insulting way.
Right.
But I mean, you know, or the Patriots, Tom Brady has got 3 Super Bowl rings. But guess what? There is a quarterback coach. You know what? This year, Barry Bonds became the greatest home run hitter of all time. But you know what? There's a hitting coach on the San Francisco Giants. And if Bonds' swing was, if he got a hitch in his swing or it wasn't, his mechanics were bad, guess what? It was his job to shut his mouth and listen to the trainer.
Right.
Okay? So that kind of says it all. And these guys, and that hitting coach maybe necessarily didn't hit 500 home runs. You know, it's not, and it's not about whether Tony was a great worker or wasn't a great worker. When you've been in as many thousands of matches as Tony's been in, he's been there and he's done that.
Mm-hmm.
So you pay him that respect.
Well
and,
said.
And you listen.
All right. That's going to wrap things up for this week, guys. If you want to, if you live in Indiana and you're coming out, I'm going to be appearing in a show on Saturday for the Midwest Wrestling League. It's at the Princeton Boys and Girls Club in Princeton, Indiana. Next week, guys, Jerry Lynn's going to be with us.
Yes, so, I'm interested in that. Jerry, a fine performer, now is back on the independent scene.
Yes.
All right.
Enjoy.
And Bill DeMont the following week.
Absolutely. And then we'll have the rest up for you up soon. Enjoy ECW, guys. We'll see you next Tuesday, 8 to 10 Eastern.